Well, all right. Well, all right. Thank y'all for hanging out with us this morning. Again, it's me. It's not Pastor Mac. He's actually on the road this morning with another church out in Livingston celebrating their anniversary. But I'm super grateful that he has allowed me to kind of fill in this morning. I'm super excited for this opportunity. I want to give a shout out to all those who are behind the scenes making this happen, the band, the worship team, the media, AV, all the lighting crew. These guys are doing such an awesome job. It's just amazing to be a part of one church, to be in the culture, and just to be here. So shout out to y'all. Thank y'all so much. Y'all make this happen on a week-to-week basis. May God bless you for your consistency and your dedication. All right, cool. I was going to sing a song, but I only got 30 minutes. So, yeah, and I want to be invited to preach again. So I'm going to do it. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Besides him, there's no other. Jesus is the way. Just a simple encouragement. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Besides him, there's no other. Jesus is the way. It's real simple. Sing it with me. Say, Jesus is the answer. Yeah, that's right. For the world today. Uh-huh. Besides him, there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way. Uh-huh. Jesus is the answer. Oh, for the world today. No. Besides him, there's no other. Say, Jesus is the way. Say, Jesus is the way. Say it again. Say, Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way. I heard somebody say, Jesus is the way. Last time right here. Jesus is the way. And that song really stood out to me simply because we are living in a time where the way and the path has become so muddy. It's become so tainted with so many options, whether it's the Democratic Party or the Republican Party, or whether it's Black Lives Matter, whether it's All Lives Matter. The path has become so muddy. Like we have found ourselves in a place of trusting and looking to certain people, places, and things. But when I heard that song, I just wanted to remind us and encourage us that regardless to where you find yourself, Jesus is the only way. And we'll talk about that a little bit later on in the sermon. But I'm going to hop straight into it because I sang a song. I don't have 30 minutes no more. So I got to make up for my time. But anyways, the title of my sermon this morning is going to be When Bad Decisions Lead to Necessary Encouragement. And this morning, we will be coming from 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 1 through 6. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 1 through 6. Now, I'll give you just a moment to find it. It's in the Old Testament. It's not in the New Testament. All right. I'll give you just a few more moments to find it. All right, 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 1 through 6. And I need to grab my Bible real quick. I thought I had it up here on my... Let me grab my biblical real quick. Okay, you know what? They have it on the screen. God bless you. I told y'all this media team is so awesome. Thank y'all. Clutch. All right. So, 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1. It says, so David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day. And now the Amalekites had reached the Negev in the Ziklag and Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag and burned it. Verse 2. And had taken captive the women and everyone else in it, both young and old. They killed none of them. But they carried them off as they went on their way. Verse 3. When David and his men reached Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. Verse 4. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. That's a strong cry. Verse 5. David's two wives have been captured. Anoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. Verse 6, and this is where we'll gather our main thought. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters, but David found strength in the Lord his God. God, we ask that you will speak to our hearts, speak to our minds in this moment, give us clarity of thought that we may hear and we may understand what you have to say to us in this moment. Father, we love you so much, and we thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so cool. Most sermons will start with like a really catchy introduction. I don't have one of those because, again, I'm trying to be mindful of my time. But I will say this. I am super grateful, and it's super dope that when we read the Bible, that God allows us to see into the lives and the decisions of those in the Bible. So if we look through the Old Testament and even the New, we see there's Job, and there's Noah, there's Daniel, there's David. And so as we when we read and we go through Scripture, we get to see that these men that were called by God, of God, anointed to do something specifically and have a purpose, we get to see into their lives and their decisions. We get to see their motives. And sometimes in certain scriptures, we get to see the motivations of their heart. And so it's really cool to read the Bible because we get to see these decisions. So if we'll recap real quick, I like to recap because, you know, some people don't like to attend church, even if it is online. It's okay. But just in case you missed it. So we've been talking about David. We've been talking about David, and just so far, this is some of the facts and information that we know about David at this point. So, as Pastor Mac opened up in the series, we talked about David is in his in-between season. So he's going from the pasture to the palace, right? So we know that he's one of eight. He's one of Jesse's boys. He was not the favorite initially, so because when Samuel came, was looking for a king, Jesse presented all seven, but was like, yo, I got one more boy, he's with the sheep. And Samuel was like, yeah, that's the one. Yeah, we're talking about David. So we know that he was anointed by Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 16. Again, this is just a recap. We know that he was a shepherd, so we know he had a job. He wasn't just out here anointed of God, super saved, holy, and spiritual. No, he had a job. He had a responsibility. We know that he played skillfully. He was a musician as well. Sound like some of us. We have day jobs and we have, you know, other talents and gifts that we use. And then we also see that he walked powerfully in the Spirit. We see that throughout text, through the battles that he faced, through his ability to soothe spirits when he was anointing. We know he walked powerfully in the Spirit. And even at this point, he was loved by Saul. And this is going to be important once we get to the text. We know that he killed Goliath. So we know as he was walking in the spirit, he was filled of the Spirit. And so there was a really big, tall dude who was like, yo, who you with? You know, nuck if you buck. And David was like, all right, that's cool. I got the stone in the bag. Bam. Cool. Killed him. Chopped his head off with his own sword. Crazy. True story, though. And so this is David. And then even after he did that, there was a song written about him. There was a whole song written about David. The song said, Samuel killed his thousands, but David killed his 10,000s. Saul killed his thousands, but David killed his 10,000s. Hey, like you know, and people knew. People all around knew who David was. However, that same moment, that same situation would cause David to be hated by the very man who loved him, King Saul. We know he was loved by Judah, and it seemed at this point in this moment that David had accepted God's plan for his life because he was functioning in the Spirit so much. Like everything that David touched was almost as if he had like the Midas touch, the Midas touch. However, as we begin to get into the text, in spite of all these things, because again, we get to see these things. We get to read about the battle with Goliath. David would make some bad decisions, and those around him would be affected, and he himself would be affected. And the only way that David would find himself out of the situation was something called the necessary encouragement, and we'll get there. So fast forward, we see David again, as we talked about, functioning in the Holy Spirit as he's fighting Goliath with boldness, holy boldness, being full of the Spirit. David slays Goliath, right? And David is celebrated. So all of these things, as David is functioning in the Spirit, David is experiencing victory.
However, as David is experiencing victory, a godless Saul decides to react in anger, and he attempts to kill David. And so what happens now, it sends David on a run for his life. David is running from Saul because Saul wants to kill him. But just previously in the text, like, he loved him. Like, they were cool. Like, they were boys. Like, they, like, yo, like, David, you my dude, man. But then all of a sudden, Saul kills his thousands. David kills his 10,000s. It's a whole problem now. It says a evil spirit took over Saul. And so now he wants to kill David. And so now we find David, it's about 8 years. David is living in caves and in the wilderness. He is on the run being pursued by Saul. And this is just to set up how we get to chapter 30. Stay with me. And so finally, what happens is at one of their meetings, there's another situation where David spares the life of Saul. He breaks in his camp, takes his spear and his water bag, and then he broadcasts like, yo, Saul, I could have killed you last night. Nah, man, where's your spear at? Where's your water bag? Yeah, where is my spear and my water bag? Yeah, I got it right here. Oh, wait. Yeah, you're right. You could have killed me last night. So what we'll do is we'll just go our separate ways. And this was one of the last interactions that David and Saul had with each other. However, it was after this moment that David decides to make a decision. He decides that even after they make this truce or this treaty and they decide to go their separate ways, David makes a decision. So the first thing is, when we get to the point of bad decisions will affect those around us. If you're taking notes, write that down real quick. Bad decisions affect those who are around us. And if you can, post 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 1 through 3. All right, so we're at the text now. And so it says that David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day. And now the Amalekites had raided the Negev and Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag and they burned it. Verse 2. And taking captive the women and everyone else in it, both young and old. However, they killed none of them, but carried them off as they went on their way. Verse 3. When David and his men reached Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. Okay, so now we gotta figure out, why was David headed back to Ziklag? Like, why did David find himself in Ziklag? So if you can, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 27, and we'll read verses 1 through 2. 1 Samuel chapter 27, verses 1 through 2. And so this is what I said, like, so David makes this decision. This is after he and Saul have had his last little run-in, and it was like, yeah, we're going to go our separate ways. But this is where David finds himself after that moment. He says, but David thought to himself, and some translations said, but David thought in his heart, that one of these days I will be destroyed by the hand of Saul. So the best thing that I can do is to escape to the land of the Philistines. What? Then Saul will give up searching for me anywhere in Israel, and I will slip out of his hand. Verse 2. So David and his 600 men with him left and went to Achish, son of Maok, king of Gath. Now, if you would go ahead and put verse 3 through 7 up too. I do want to point out real quick that David decides in his moment of fear and uncomfortability, he decides and makes a decision within his heart to go to a place of a known enemy. David finds himself going to live with the Philistines. Now, if we know anything about Gath, for the Bible scholars, that's where Goliath was from. That was Goliath's hometown. And so I found myself reading, like, David, why would you make the choice and the decision to go to the very place of the man that you killed and then chopped his head off with his... David, you must be in a very peculiar spot to make that choice and the decision, because as we talked about previously, we know David was anointed by God. We know David was loved by Judah. We know that David was filled with the Holy Spirit. And so out of all of these moments and instances from him running for his life, David decides to do this. It says, David and his men settled in Gath with Achish. Achish was one of the military leaders. He was basically kind of like He was like the king of that area, right? And so each man has his family with him, and David had his two wives, Anoam of Jezreel and Abigail of Carmel, the widow of Nabal. Verse 4, when Saul was told that David had fled to Gath, he no longer searched for him. Then David said to Achish, I have found favor in your eyes, pagan. Let a place be assigned to me in one of the country towns that I may live there. Why should your servant live in your royal city with you? David's like, I need my own space. Like, thank you. I've been loyal. We cool. Now, can you give me somewhere to stay, right? And so on that day, Achish gave him Ziklag, and it belonged to the kings of Judah ever since. Verse 7, David lived in Philistine territory for a year and 4 months. David took up residence among the enemy for a year and 4 months. But we have to go back and we have to look at the decision that David made. It says, David said in his heart, and what we have to be careful of is when we decide to determine things in our heart, when we make decisions in our heart, a lot of times that has the tendency to motivate our actions, right? It says, we know biblically from the heart, the mouth speaks. From the heart come the issues of life, right? Sometimes what we see usually is a byproduct of what we say. So sometimes when we say things and we begin to say things out loud, oh, you just like your daddy. Well, yeah, he started acting like his daddy and yeah, you said it. We must be careful how we speak during the in-between seasons. Because again, this is about David in the in-between season. And so it kind of parallels what I'm doing. We have to be careful during the time of trouble what we say. This is why encouragement, good encouragement is necessary. And we'll see that later in the scripture. But simply because our situation is bad, our heart goes through. The Bible says the heart is deceitful. The heart is deceitful. And so we have to find ourselves with a battle within our hearts. Although the situation may be bad, we have to be careful what we allow to come out of our mouths. Right? We must ensure that the intentions of our heart line up with what God has spoken. Things have a tendency to appear differently when we say things out loud. So I wouldn't call it a comprehension problem. I feel like I comprehend well, but I don't like reading in my head, right? So anytime, like when I read through scripture, like I either like to listen to it, like I like to hear it, or I have to read out loud. Like my parents thought it was crazy. They came upstairs and I'm like, I'm reading through some stuff. But it helped me to grasp and to really take hold to what was happening when I hear it. There's something about when we hear, whether it's the word of God, whether it's negativity. They say sticks and stones may break our bones, but words will never hurt us. That's not the truth. That's not the truth. We have to be very careful about what we say out loud, because David said in his heart, and then he began to speak, and where did he find himself? David said that if I do this, then this is what Saul will do. And based on the motivations of his heart and what he spoke, there was a manifestation. Now, I don't get into this naming and claiming and speaking and all that other stuff. However, this was in David's heart. So if we fast forward to 1 Samuel chapter 29, we're talking about how David ended up in Ziklag. So what happens is 1 Samuel 29 verses 8 through 11. And so it says David is talking to Achish and he said, what have I done? Achish is like, yo, David, you can't come with us. David was about to go to war with the Israelites on behalf of the Philistines. Yes, I said that correctly. David, the anointed king of Israel, was about to go to war with the children of Israel. David is really in a bad spot. Like, David's mind is really in a bad spot. David, who found himself among the Philistines, is now about to go to war with the very people he's been anointed to lead. And so he and Achish are having a conversation. David says, but what have I done? What have you found against your servant from the day I came into you now? Why can't I go and fight against the enemies of my lord, the king? And so Achish answered, I know, you know, you've been as pleasing in my eyes as an angel of God. Nevertheless, the Philistine commanders have said he can't go with us. He must not go with us into battle. Verse 10. Now get up early along with your master's servants who have come with you and leave in the morning as soon as it is light. And so David and his men got up early in the morning to go back to the land of the Philistines, and the Philistines went up to Jezreel. So this is what happened. So not only was David in a tough spot, David was sitting home by some losers. David was sent home by the Philistines. David was like, yo, we about to go fight. And they was like, no, bruh. No, you can't ride with us. We know who you are. Matter of fact, they even referenced in, I believe it's chapter 27, we heard the song. Saul killed his thousands. David killed his 10,000s. Hey, we know who you are. And so the Philistines are like, no, bro, you got to go. I don't know why you're trying to fit in with us, but we know who you are. We know you belong to the Lord of Israel. We know that. And you can't ride with us because there's a possibility. How else will you vindicate yourself? How are you going to do that? And so David is sent home. The Philistines wouldn't allow it. There's something to be said when the people that you try to fit in with, like, nah, bro. Like, you try so hard to fit in with people that you don't belong with. You know, you try to be so different and try to be something or somebody outside of who you really are. And then it's like those people in their circles is like, nah, fam, that's not you. Nah, bro, that's not you. That's where David is in this. He's like, yo, I want to go fight against Israel. And they were like, no, dummy, like, we know who you are. Go home. And so David allows the circumstances and surroundings to push him away from the people he was anointed to lead to the land of the enemy. We have to be careful when we trade calling for compromise and faith for fear. Compromising is not worth us losing the very thing that God has called us to do. It's not worth it. For simple gratification in this moment, it's not worth it. And so we see David, he's come home to utter destruction by the Amalekites, who in 1 Samuel chapter 15, Saul was told by God to kill the Amalekites. But we see the disobedience of the king. Like, interestingly enough, 1 Samuel chapter 15, God tells Saul, yo, kill the Amalekites. What does Saul do? Saul kills most of the Amalekites, keeps the king, and saves the livestock. Well, okay. And so now we know that God is like, you know what? I regret even making him king. Like, I regret even putting him in place. It's the same disobedience that would not only cost David, because, again, it's the same Amalekites that came and destroyed Ziklag. It would also, this same cycle would affect Solomon at some point. Now, we won't get into cycles and, as Aaron calls it, generational curses, but that's a sermon for another day. But we see the disobedience here, the decision that Saul made now affects David in the future, right? And so we have to be careful of the decisions that we make right now, because they not only affect us, but they will affect now and as well as the future. As if Saul would have not been disobedient, who knows how this text would have read? Who knows where the Amalekites would have been? However, we see while David was out trying to be a part of the Philistine army, he left home vulnerable, allowing them to be taken by the Amalekites. That's 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 1 through 2. Can you put that on the screen real quick? It says, in those days, the Philistines gathered their forces to fight against Israel. Achish said to David, you must understand that you and your men will accompany me in the army. Right? So this is David. This is King of David. Achish like, yo, you're going to ride with us. David said, then you will see for yourself what your servant can do. Achish replied, very well. I will make you my bodyguard for life. That is crazy that David decides to make an alliance with the enemy. David's decision, though, to leave Ziklag is a testament to the vulnerability of the home. The leaders were not there to protect the home, thus falling prey to the enemy. So this is why it's imperative and it's important that regardless to our surroundings and where we find ourselves, we must find ourselves where God has called us. We must be led by the Holy Spirit. Our absence in certain places in the between seasons where God has called us to do will leave that very place open and available to the attack of the enemy. This is why it's important for husbands and wives to be on the same page, for husbands to be leading, wives to be praying for their husbands, because mothers and fathers that are not in the home leave the children vulnerable. And so we talk about the cycle. It repeats itself. It happens all over again. Parents, we have to know and understand that the presence and the life of your kids are important. Like, working is cool, but the value of your presence in the household means so much more, because when you are not present, when you are not there, like Ziglag, kids are left vulnerable. They are left open to the attack. There are so many things on social media and on YouTube. Like, there's no parental block in the world that can stop these kids who are, like, these kids are smart. They understand how to work technology. And so it's imperative and it's important that we, as parents, as youth leaders, as ministers, as pastors, that we leave the home protected. We cannot find ourselves in other places that God has called us to. The outcome of bad decisions of adults, they affect the home and children. And again, we're talking about the bad decisions. So as we fast forward to 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 5 through 6, we see how bad decisions affect David personally. If you take your notes, write that down. Bad decisions affect David personally. So 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 5 through 6. I'll read it real quick. You put it up on the screen real quick. So David's two wives have been captured, Adonijah of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. What? Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters, but David found strength in the Lord his God. So at this point in the text, David has lost his family. David's family is gone. They're not dead, gratefully. That's grace. They're not dead, but David loses his family first. David has been rejected by pagans that he tried to fit in with. David has been running for his life for almost a decade. And these situations in this moment, it causes David to have an emotional breakdown, if you will. It causes David to get to a point of, the Bible says, distress. Verse 6 says that David was greatly distressed. Another translation for distress is anxiety or sorrow or pain. And it was at this moment that David finally comes to grips with the product of his bad decisions. And it caused great sorrow. This is what the text says. And as we see, David is broken. Can you imagine David coming back and you just see like all the smoke in the air? Like knowing like, okay, yeah, that's home. I know that's where I live. That's where I stay. But why is there smoke? Like, why is there smoke? And as he gets closer, he sees, okay, wait, that's the gate where we come in at, and that's such and such house, and that's their homie's crib. Wait, like, this place is burned up. Where's my family? My family is not here. Okay, wait, like, the place that he called home is now gone. It's been destroyed. Like, it no longer exists. And it was all a byproduct of his decisions. David, in this moment, needed something bigger than what he had done already. Nothing at this point has worked for David. David has decided to go to be among the Philistines and then all this other stuff, vowed to fight against Israel, but nothing is working. And it's in this moment, as David is looking through the carnage and looking up, it reminds me of the prodigal son. When the prodigal son gets to the point where he's done all his rowdiest, his living, and he's in the pig pen, and he finds himself looking up. It kind of mirrors that moment. David has now another decision to make, though. And so as we read the scripture, as I'm about to close, as the old preachers say, David has a decision to make. David finds himself at another impasse and another crossroads. David has exhausted all of his options. All of the decisions at this point have led to not only his family being taken, but now his 600 homies want to kill him. They want to kill this man. Like, they've been riding with David all this time, and it gets to a point where it's like, okay, David got to go. You got these grown men out here crying today, was tired. It's like, now somebody got to go. David got to go. Somebody has to pay for what we see here. And we are here because of David. And so now David finds himself in a moment of depression. And the Bible said that David encourages himself in the Lord. David did the one thing that he knew would change his situation. Again, we talked about earlier in the sermon, David was filled with the Holy Spirit. David knew who God was. On the backside of the mountain, David was always in fellowship with God. So he knew how God has delivered him. He knew the character of God because he spent time with him. And so now David finds himself, like, he's remembering the promise and the calling. He's remembering God's love for him. David understood that, like in many times before, it would only be God to get him out of this moment, right? So David was now in the perfect position to experience God like he had never experienced him before. Although David was weak and he was broken, David understood that God loved him and there was enough grace for him in this moment to get him and find himself back in fellowship with the Father, right? And so a lot of times we find ourselves in that place. We've ran out of options. We've ran out of poor choices. Nobody is really fooling with us no more because they know we inconsistent. They know we lie. They know we're not going to do what we say we're supposed to do. They know that. Like, we've gotten to a place where don't nobody fool with us no more. We don't have any more resources. We don't have anything else to lean in and to depend on. We found ourselves in a point with nothingness. And so we know that an emotional experience usually leads to a physical, physical response. Let's just say a physical response. Anytime somebody said manifestation, that's a very deep word. God bless you, and thank you for that. A lot of times when there's an emotional buildup, there's usually a physical manifestation. There's usually a response to the emotional buildup, right? So Black Lives Matter and people are upset of cops killing. They get really mad, you know, they get riled up. And so some people, you know, they'll protest. Some people will riot, right? Some people will, they all have different responses based on an emotional place, right? Reaction. Brendan said reaction. I like that word. I like manifestation better. But, however, we know that an emotional buildup will lead to a physical reaction. And this is where we found David. This is what David does. And as David, we parallel as he does. And I'm done. I promise. I only got one close. This is it. Our response to our emotional place has to be with what we call the proper and necessary encouragement. We have to get to a place where we begin to speak God's word over our life. Right? Even though I seem lost, God still loves me. Even though I don't fit in, God still loves me. Even though my family don't really fool with me like that, for whatever reason, God still loves me. The necessary encouragement says that Jesus died for me, right? The necessary encouragement said that the Father desires fellowship with you, regardless to where you find yourself. The necessary encouragement says the Father has a plan and has the answer for your life. Jesus is the answer. And again, like that's why I open with the song, is because a lot of times we are looking to self-medicate. We are looking for things. We are looking for easy fixes. We are looking for the 30-day fast. We're looking, how can I lose 60 pounds in 30 days? Like we're looking for the quick remedy. But if I can encourage you this morning, Jesus is the only way that we will get out of the situation that we're in. We know the nation is in turmoil. Jesus is still the answer. We know that things are trying right now, but I promise you, Jesus is the answer. I know things are difficult. Some people have been laid off. Some people are trying to find work. I promise you that if you will be like David and begin to speak and begin to understand, begin to find yourself in fellowship, not with just people, but with the Father, begin to open your heart, begin to find yourself in a place to allow God to speak, because that's what David did. David encourages himself, and then it says he asked for the ephod, which is basically the prayer cloth. That's what they put on when they were going to go talk to God. His response now was like, I understand now why I am here, and I also understand what it is that I need to do. If you find yourself in this place, if you find yourself in a place of nothing works, like I feel lost, I'm confused. I just don't know. I just have no idea. I want to encourage you this morning that Jesus is the only way. The encouragement that we receive from the Holy Spirit is the way. The only way that we will get through and past these moments in life is through Jesus Christ. Although we make bad decisions, yes, we're going to make bad decisions. Like I said, I love the fact that God allows us to see into the mind and the life and the decisions of David. However, we also get to see God's grace in this moment. Is that how God allowed David to go through these things, but he was not taken out. He was not destroyed. David was put in a place to where he would experience what he did, but he came to a moment where he began to speak and he began to encourage himself in the Lord. So if you have found yourself in this place and you're wondering, like, how do I get past this moment? I want to pray for us. I want to pray for you. And then I will encourage you to reach out to us. Talk to us. Somebody is waiting to speak to you, to pray for you. Even if it's just in the comment section, drop something in the comment section. But there is somebody there who is willing to reach out and to talk to you and to help you get to that place. I promise you, one church is a great place to go to heaven from. I'm not trying to plug it. Yet at the same time, you need to find yourself not just in fellowship with God, but with people. And there are many ministries and places, but I encourage you to encourage yourself in Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for allowing us to see where David was. We thank you for allowing us to see David's decisions and his choices. We know David was a man after your heart. We know that David was a mighty king. We know that David did amazing things. Yet at the same time, we see that David made bad decisions. But just because David made bad decisions, you didn't change your calling for his life. You didn't throw him away. You didn't say he was no longer. You extended grace and you protected him until he got to a point where he was able to make the decision. And so like David, there may be somebody who's at that place in their life where they are going to make a decision, and it may not be the right decision. And so God, I'm asking that you will speak to their heart. God, I ask that they would have a desire for you, and that as they have a desire for you, that you would meet them where they are, Father. I'm asking that you will speak to their heart, give them clarity, help them to see you in this moment. Allow them to not be moved or confused by their circumstance and what they see around them. Father, meet them where they are. Give them the same grace as that you gave David. Father, we're asking that you will continue to move by your Spirit, to touch the hearts of those. Although we're not meeting, Father, we're asking that you will continue to speak to the hearts of men and women and children who may have found themselves in a bad place. Father, we love you so much and we are grateful for this moment. We are grateful that you have given us grace. And so now, if you would, in this moment, just take a moment to just think about where you are and where you have found yourself. And one of the things, as we see in the scripture, as we continue to read, we see that David, at that point, his decisions were changed. After God met him, after he had his interaction with the Father, David makes the decision. It's like, I'm not going to do the same thing. My behavior, my response, and my actions are now different. My motivations have now become different.